Good morning. I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month. It's hard to talk about sexual assault, and especially hard to talk about it when it involves kids. But it's important to talk about it and to make sure people who might need to report it know what to do. So we've invited Adam Rosenberg, Executive Director of the Baltimore Child Abuse Center, to spend a few minutes with us. BCAC's mission is to provide victims of child sexual abuse and trauma with comprehensive forensic interviews and treatment, all with the goal of preventing future trauma. Adam Rosenberg, welcome to On the Record.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
How common is sexual abuse of children in Maryland? Do we know?
Unfortunately, sexual abuse of children is more common than we want to think. That it occurs generally to one in eight children by the time that they turn 18 there. And as a result of this, and through 30 years of study, through the Adverse Childhood Experiences study, we also know that these children end up growing up being at greater risks of becoming victims of sexual assault later in life.
Well, how does incidents of abuse usually come to light?
Usually the most typical way that an incident of abuse comes to light is that an adult reports it. Yeah, that I think kids often say things that go undetected or unexplained by adults. And that I think many children who have been victims of sexual abuse don't necessarily know that they've even been a victim of sexual abuse. The grooming process that pedophiles do, the uncomfortable feeling that children end up having, or the relationship that develops between the person who's abusing them and the child often prevents that child from coming forward to say that they're being victimized. Adult victims, have the ability to come forward and to say that they've been a victim of assault, they've been a victim of a rape. Child victims don't have that language to necessarily do that. And so they often rely upon adults to pick up the right cues and to begin to understand that if a child said something to them, that they need to report it, or if an adult who knows a child well begins to see that a child is acting differently, begins to ask a couple really good questions to begin to figure out what's going on in that kid's life, and unfortunately discovering that kid has been a victim of abuse. But that's really the only way we can get these kids help. Kids aren't generally calling 911 or Child Protective Services reporting their own abuse. It comes down to an adult who recognizes that they need to protect the child and make that report.
So it's up to adults in that child's life both to recognize what might be the situation and to blow the whistle on it, or at least to call it to someone else's attention. Who is supposed to be doing that? Who in a child's life has an obligation?
So in the state of Maryland, actually, everybody is obligated to report abuse. We've got two laws on the books in Maryland, Maryland Family Law 5-704 and Maryland Family Law 5-705, for those of you keeping score at home. And those laws create a mandated reporting system. 5-705 says that all citizens in the state of Maryland shall report abuse if they have reason to believe abuse has occurred. And Maryland Family Law 5-704 carves out an exceptional group called mandated reporters. That's right, Sheila. And these are people who, by virtue of their position, that we trust they're going to watch our kids during the day, at school, at youth programs. These are people who work in youth-serving organizations and places that have regular contact with children. They have an additional responsibility in terms of how quickly they're supposed to make a report of abuse, who they're supposed to make a report of abuse to, and how to get that process going. And those include, in a very broad sense, health practitioners, police officers, educators, or human services workers. And then within the definitions of family law, it defines that a little bit further, but it's the people who are watching your kid.
But now all of those categories you just enumerated, the health professional,
health professional, police officer, right, educator, human services worker.
This is their work. They are getting some kind of a salary, probably not enough, but
right,
they're being paid to do this work, and it should include being well informed about what to do in a situation that looks like there's been child abuse.
That's absolutely right. I think we trust that people who are watching our kids, who the schools we're sending them to, the programs that we're paying to watch our children, will do what they're supposed to do. That they're going to train our kids, they're going to educate our kids, they're going to keep them safe, and if they have reason to believe abuse occurred, they're going to make that report that's legally required to keep my child safe.
Are there also situations where someone is a volunteer and yet would be mandated to report?
Well, certainly in Maryland, that this 5-705 is that catch-all, that everyone shall report abuse, so that volunteers would be under that same obligation to report abuse, and that there certainly is not a situation where someone says, you can't report abuse. We want people to be able to do this, and our legislators have built a series of laws designed to protect people who are making those reports of abuse, and being able to encourage that as well, because it is an uncomfortable situation to walk into and to be able to have it. And there's a nice long history of these mandated reporting laws in the United States, so that all 50 states in the country and the territories have a variety of laws in place to protect children.
So we've been talking about a report. Who is a mandated reporter? Who are they supposed to tell?
So the law in the state of Maryland says that mandated reporters, and also those who have reason to believe abuse occurred, are required by law to report this to either their local Department of Social Services or the police. And so they can dial 911, or they can dial their local Department of Social Services in any one of the 24 counties in Maryland there. And there are various numbers that one would have to search through a website to find what they are. There's 45 different numbers in Maryland to be able to make that report of abuse based on the jurisdiction and the time of day. And hopefully, for the most part, a youth-serving organization like a school or an after-school program would know the number and have it prominently displayed so that if that person needs to make that report, they know where they're calling.
But let's say I work in a school and one of the pupils behaves in some way that makes me think something like child abuse might have gone on. I don't discharge my responsibility by telling the principal. That's not what I'm mandated
to do. That's
right.
What the law mandates you do if you work at that school is, one, if you have reason to believe abuse occurred. And so the reason to believe abuse occurred is a broad standard, but also one that does not require that an investigation take place. So if there's a teacher listening to this right now and they have a situation and they are feeling uneasy, then if that doesn't lead them to believe abuse has occurred. And I think that would mean that a child has told you something, that you have witnessed something, or that through your interactions with that child, you think something's going wrong. The kid who shows up in school with a black eye doesn't necessarily mean that abuse has occurred. It means that the kid has a black eye. What we hope that the school does is ask the question to the child to say, hey, that looks painful, what happened? And if the child says, my father hit me, then we have reason to believe abuse occurred. If the child said, I fell off my bunk bed, then we don't have reason to believe abuse occurred. So it requires some degree of interaction between youth serving workers and the children that they're taking care of to be able to determine what went on there. Once they've reached that threshold of reason to believe, then they're required by law to make the report. So telling one's supervisor, telling the principal or the director of the organization is not sufficient to meet the standard of the law. However, the law also requires, though, that the person who has discovered the abuse, the mandated reporter, has to make a report out to Child Protective Services or law enforcement. And by law, they're required to report it up to the supervisor of that organization. And that's a great protection for both the reporter and the organization. So the organization begins to know that something's afoot, there may be an investigation taking place, and that a report's been made. And the protection for the reporter, Sheila, is the fact that that reporter's required to make that phone call. And so the principal can't say, well, I don't want you making that phone call, because the law says that I'm the reporter and I'm supposed to do it.
That's Adam Rosenberg, executive director of the Baltimore Child Abuse Center, here on The Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about who is required to report suspected child abuse. So you're saying that the law protects someone with an obligation to report. If it turns out that it wasn't child abuse, they cannot get into trouble.
Right. In fact, it's a great thing when we discover that it's not abuse, that I think kids are creatures, they're physical creatures, and that they begin to see and experience and emote things, and that a child's behavior that may have raised suspicion But was an abuse is okay. And then I think then we begin to figure out, you know, what is it we need to do to help divert that child's sexualized behavior or that physical action that the kid's doing that may have raised someone's suspicion there. But there's protections in place. We've built a system throughout the state to be able to make sure that people who are reporting abuse are protected. So you have good faith immunity. So that if you make that report of abuse, then a lawsuit won't hold up in court. You also can report abuse confidentially, and you can report it anonymously. So we have protections in Maryland that will guard your identity. And so that if you don't want the people to know that you've made this report, all of us investigating agencies are required to protect your identity. And so altogether there, the system's designed to protect the person who needs to take that leap and make that report of abuse. The other protection in place is that we have some significant penalties in the state if the institution prevents you from making that report. So if you want to make a report, but the director of your, you know, athletic program says, don't make the report, and it's discovered there that that person is punishable, you know, up to a felony and, you know, incarceration in jail and a substantial criminal penalty, fine-wise. So we want to make sure that people can do what they need to do. And I think that that protection also extends to the fact that it allows a mandated reporter to be able to say, I'm sorry, it's my job. By law, I have to make this report. So they don't have to feel like they're going to side with or betray a child's confidence or trust or family there. By law, we've said in our state, and 50 states have said, and there's only 50 states, that you have to make the report of abuse, that the protection of a child is paramount and exceeds all other needs that may go on in that relationship between a worker and a child.
There was a terrible situation in Prince George's County 2 years ago, I think, when a school volunteer who was ultimately indicted on 270 counts of child pornography.
Right.
But the system of reporting seemed to sort of fall apart. I mean, it went on for a long time before it came to the attention of authorities.
Yeah, I think the Deontay Carroway case in Prince George's County is a glaring example of what happens when we're not training professionals on their responsibility to report abuse, when a school system is not taking seriously its duty and responsibility. It really is one of the best ways we can protect children. Sure, we can train people. We need to train people so they know how to protect children, how to prevent abuse from happening. But when it occurs, an abuse will occur. I mean, we're not going to eliminate it altogether there. There will be instances of abuse. And so we need people to take action. And what we, you know, when you read the newspaper articles in the Post and the Sun and the civil complaint filings, you can see that there was a pattern of behavior that occurred down in that school district that they didn't train their people sufficiently, and that the people there who had received these allegations of abuse from first and second graders who told them things had happened, they didn't act on it. And I think that's a failing of the system, that if you're not being trained and you don't know how to make a report of abuse, then you need to talk to your supervisor and say, you know, teach me how to do this. It's really critical and important then. And so, you know, allegedly what had happened is that children had talked to their teachers, and there was one instance where a child said to his teacher, Mr. Deontay is humping me, and the teacher said, I don't believe you, sit down. It's reported in the newspapers, it's reported in the civil complaint. And if that teacher had gone forward, because to me that's reason to believe abuse occurred, and started that investigative process, other children's lives should have been spared. And that's what didn't happen there, is that they didn't take that responsibility to the seriousness that's occurred. And it's not just Prince George's County.
Is it required that people with a mandated obligation to report be trained?
Sadly, no. That in Maryland, it is not required. We introduced some legislation this year. That legislation was met with defeat in the House and the Senate this year. It's something we'll try again next year. But it's not required. Licensing boards should have an obligation to do that, but they're not required to do it either. And school districts have an obligation to provide that training. But there really is no baseline as to what a training should be, what information should be in that. A number of other states have required training of their mandated reports. reporters. And in fact, the federal mandated reporting statutes also have training language in it to require that training occurs. The legislation that we work with Senator Susan Lee in Montgomery County to introduce mirrored that legislation, mirrored the federal language to say that those people who are mandated reporters shall receive training. It's really critical that it happens there, because I think that's one of the top things that it often occurs, that people don't know what their responsibility is to report abuse. Look, when you've got a network of 45 different phone numbers to report abuse in Maryland, you've got people who don't necessarily know how to do it. And, you know, there was also legislation introduced this session to simply put up signs so people know how to report abuse. We've got a long way to go here in Maryland to be able to really strengthen our mandated reporting system. It's the gateway to get these kids help.
And obviously, the most important thing is that mandated reporters be trained. But you began by saying every person in Maryland has an obligation under the law to report suspected child
abuse.
So how should the rest of us train ourselves in this? How can we get smart about this?
So we're proud to be able to have received a grant and a partnership with the Governor's Office of Crime Control and Prevention to build a website to train people for free how to learn to report abuse. It's reportabusemd.com.
And reportabusemd, as in Maryland.
Yes.
reportabusemd.com.
That's right. And you can go to that website and you can take a free training and learn what the reporting laws are and how to make that report of abuse. I think the other thing that's really critical for anybody listening to this or are having that water cooler conversation afterwards is to start asking questions to your own youth serving program, so that if you've got your own kids or your nieces, your nephews, other kids in your lives that you care about, I think it's worth saying a couple of questions to the person who runs the program that watches your kids of, what are you doing to keep my kids safe? And what happens in your school when abuse is suspected? And who's training your kids there? And if you're not getting answers that are sufficient, I think you as a consumer should begin to demand better and to say, I think that your staff should be trained in this. And I think your staff should know what to do. They go through a lot of training at schools and other youth programs. They spend a lot of time at active shooter drills, and they have sexual harassment policies. But this is the thing, Sheila, that occurs, unfortunately and regrettably, much more often than any of that.
Before I let you go, Baltimore Child Abuse Center has a Be a Hero event a week from today.
That's right. We believe people who are looking out to protect children are heroes, and particularly those mandated reporters, these unsung heroes who are out there who pick up the phone and make that report of abuse, they're heroes. And so we're celebrating community heroes, the people who work with us, who never get praise for the thanks that that they're part of the system. And these little kids who speak up and tell people about their abuse, they're heroes too. And so our Be a Hero event is Friday, April 28th at the Lord Baltimore Hotel. There is an after party as well with tickets still available. You can buy them at our website at baltimorechildabusecenter.org. And even if you can't make the event, we're doing a remarkable auction that's available online. So you don't have to be present to win. You can bid on some terrific items. You can make a donation. And all of that goes to protect kids, to continue our efforts to educate the public on how to prevent abuse and how to empower adults to report abuse so that we can get kids the help that they need, Sheila.
Okay. We will link to that. I want to thank you.
Oh, my pleasure, Sheila. Thank you for having the conversation.
Adam Rosenberg is Executive Director of the Baltimore Child Abuse Center at the On the Record page at WIPR.org. We've got info about the Be a Hero event next Friday. Also, a link to reportabusemd.com. I'm Sheila Cass. Quick break now. And when we're back, a Stoop story.